Chair, can we go on and start?
What?
Can we start early?
Mr. Chair, I'll do whatever your wishes are.
No, we're all about serving you, Mr. President.
I'm glad the media's here.
I think we got everybody back. Gil, I know Gil was too bad. Dr. Burge, well, maybe I...
Coming in there?
Called the phone.
Why would I not be surprised?
Gil was right here.
Well, I was trying to save the university some money by doing two per page, but I'm
Hey, that's a sharp folder in
there. The only one that could see it was Jason. I'm sure he could.
Okay. Having a hard
time. I guess.
So I think the conversations that we had earlier, and I want to be clear, this is our meeting and Freddie's meeting, not mine, but I thought Philip did a nice summation of the first session. All of that, I think, though, influences or connects to what we're going to talk a little bit about this afternoon. And so the first thing that I'm going to ask for you is some of your guidance and feedback. All of this is, to my mind, a draft. These are possibilities but not certainties, and I'm looking for your guidance as we go through this process of determining, as a WKU community, who we are and who we aspire to be. I do want to say that the retention, persistence, graduation portion of the conversation ties directly to this, because if you think about and contextualize the funding environment in which we live, that if we must perform on persistence and graduation because of the new performance funding metrics and on those on which we will be judged, the funds will flow based upon that. And even if there are zero new dollars allocated to higher education, that then means that funds will be shifting between and among universities. And I want to... Our strategic plan has to come together in the context that anything we decide has to have performance funding at least in mind, if not be directly driven by some of those metrics. I've said publicly in many different settings, it makes sense, I think, for us to be funded based upon the things that we're being asked to do by the state. And one of the really important things there is recruiting, persisting, and graduating students. So with that, I'm hopeful that strategic planning is a robust, bottom-up conversation across all of our stakeholders, students, faculty, staff, administrators, regents, alumni, donors, friends, business, businessmen and women, local businesses, legislators, folks engaged in economic development, national policymakers, everyone who has a stake in this institution, I am hopeful will both be interested and engaged in this 9-month process. And it will be both bottom up, but some portion will be shaped from the top down. And so this is that vision thing that sometimes leaders struggle with. I think I'm pretty clear, given the 6 months of work we've done, where we're gonna spend some time. And I want that to be the guiding thought behind this conversation. So I have the WKU mission statement up here, and good strategic planning usually flows from a vision, mission, goals, objectives, tactics, measurement. So this is on the website. WKU prepares students of all backgrounds to be productive, engaged, and socially responsible citizen leaders of a global society. We provide research, service, and lifelong learning opportunities for our students, faculty, and other constituents, and we enrich the quality of life for those within our reach. So pretty formal, been around for a while, and what I've been doing, and I've, it's been intentional, is really trying to create more of a shared mission statement or a shared mission based upon what I've heard. And so my goal of late has been really to echo things that the community, that leadership have shared with me as important. And you'll see some language in here that is very intentional. So our mission as a student center, the entire conversation this morning was about how do we focus on students, their success, and their outcomes. But a student-centered applied research university. WKU is not an R1. Never have been. It's not what we're built for. But we do something, we do amazing research that is incredibly important to the economy of the state, to the students who get to participate in that inquiry, to our community, and in collaboration with our business partners. That discovery mission is really important. It's a different kind of knowledge. It's usable knowledge. And I think that's a part of who we are that we need to highlight ever more forcefully and talk about how do we organize ourselves strategically to pursue that. Our mission, though, is to better our city, the Commonwealth, our nation, and the world. So that's essentially everybody, everything, society. By inspiring innovation, elevating communities, and transforming lives. And that's been consistent since the day all of you met me. Because that's the place that I knew as a young person and a place that still exists today, what we do here. And so from this, and this will be shared around, we'll have conversations across the whole community about what does this actually mean. So this is the one top-down piece. This is not the mission statement, but it's a first crack at it. How does this resonate with you based upon your understanding of President Cherry, the goals that we've had for the past decade, where we've gone as a university? Tell me about the... So it is a revision and it is a bit of a departure, but I'm just curious how it resonates. And which parts?
So I guess as a student, I know that there is, like, there are research opportunities, and I think that it's really powerful to put that in the mission, but I think that even, like, as an honor student, I've been given, like, every privilege to seek research, and I've still had a hard time even finding, like, a research mentor. So I guess it's interesting that, like, that would be part of our mission statement. And I definitely think it's bold and maybe it'll be something that we can strive for in the future. But I don't know. I just think it's I definitely don't want to give, like, a false impression of the current university. So if someone were to look at that and they were, like, seeking maybe, like, an R1 and they were to, like, come to WKU instead, I just hope they would not they would be able to find this opportunity.
Yeah, and I think you're right that a vision and mission, it's aspirational.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I think that in contrast to other types of institutions, as an applied research university, it's my hope that we have more opportunities for more undergraduates than perhaps even at an R1, and that the experience is applied in the real world. I'll tell this. This is a story. Quick story.
Mm-hmm.
My undergraduate degree, I sat in a lab, watched videotapes, and every time a subject made eye contact with the Confederate in the experiment, I pushed on. And every time the subject broke eye contact, I pushed off. And I did that for 20 hours a week, for an entire semester and an entire year. I don't know what I was supposed to get out of that. I mean, at some point, I guess I understood that it was an important part of coding data, but I didn't get that to much later. That was a research experience, but I don't really use that today in my life. Contrast that with, I show up here in Bowling Green, and I did work alongside Professor Calouet with the Bando Company on human resource development. Create a survey instrument, went out and helped administer the instrument, collected those data, analyzed those data, and worked alongside him to help make recommendations to how that company could be do better work with their employees. Is that research? Absolutely. But it's research with a particular use.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's informed by theory. Much of it has a use for the company. So that the contrast there is something
right,
I want
right.
is important. But
okay.
We'll have to flesh that out.
Okay.
I like the word translational. I don't think it fits in there anywhere, but when we talk about applied, what we're trying to produce here is information that translates to the real world, can be taken to the real world.
You said last night, and I've heard this before, bench to bedside, which is a pharmaceutical term. How do you go from here to a patient?
One thing that I think is really positive about it, in comparison to the former mission statement, is the transition from its to our. So it shows like a lot of ownership and then collective involvement within the community instead of making WKU like a foreign entity.
I think the link is dramatically impressive because it's precise, it's inclusive. I don't think it needs to be exponentially longer, the detail. It's pretty clear to me.
My thought would be substituting out the word city,
mm-hmm.
so that it's, you know, I get the feel that we're limiting it to just Bowling Green.
Ah.
Can we say region? Mm-hmm. A region?
I like that.
I like the fact that it leads with students,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sitting here trying to take it apart and say what's missing, what's not, you know. And the things that I don't see in it in words, I see in it by implication.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I thought about was what we're trying to enable students to do, to literally become, you know, I think our old mission said citizen leaders or whatever, but that notion, and yet that's embedded in there. I mean, you said it. If you're going to better city, commonwealth, nation, world by doing those things, then you've done those things by affecting students to enable them to do it. So I was looking for the leadership and the changing that our students do as a result of this, but I think it's embedded.
That's helpful. So in my mind, it is in transforming lives, not just the lives of students, but anyone who has an interaction. And some of it is leadership. Some of it is perhaps more pedestrian, but maybe more important.
Do we address how it betters the student? We say city, commonwealth, nation, world, but
mm-hmm.
we address how it benefits the student.
Jason, there's a few of us hearing challenged over here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I asked, does it address how it benefits the student? It benefits the community and the world, nation, whatever. Does it need to address?
You know, you're saying the word city made me think of whether or not there might be another word like region, because city for some people means Bowling Green proper. And we really are. I mean, when you say our university, I think our immediate surrounding region communities see us as belonging to them.
Regional campuses, is that included if you use region?
Well,
because actually, city excludes them.
City, I was okay. trying to hit at whether or not that would be perceived as just Bowling Green as opposed to our.
Okay.
Our region.
The hearing is bad here.
Sorry.
Barbara.
Ray brought that up just about a little bit ago. So the hearing is bad. I mean, I'm having a hard time hearing everybody too.
What?
We got the giggles back here, Barbara, because you said about exactly what Ray said. You just can't hear very good.
So Gil said he liked your idea better, so.
So I think we either need to talk louder. We can talk louder. I mean, that makes sense. Freddie, your voice is soft, too. I think I'm the only loud one here. Now, Jason, I think with that, when they talk about student-centered, I think we're addressing the students. That we're, everything at WKU is focused on the students to be able to do all these other functions. So, you know, student-centered means that we are definitely focusing on the
students.
Change the world.
I'm saying the student may not be worried about changing the world right now. They may be worried about their income and changing their life.
Is it the transforming right. lives, though? I take it as for the students.
Yeah. Transforming life.
What about the word better? So I struggle with that. I had elevate, but we already used elevate. Improve. I didn't feel very. But I also don't like better.
Enhance. It's good, Barbara. Answers. I know. Enhance is a real good word, Barbara.
This is more of a question.
Rich.
statement. The point that the city is a little bit restrictive, but you know, we have a service region as a state university that's pretty broad. I think it can be tweaked so that that will be inclusive.
Correct.
I have a question, and it might be wrong, but as far as student-centered, would that necessitate a hyphen?
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that because I wasn't sure.
It was killing me.
As I said, it was a draft. So that's...
No, no, no problem. I just wanted to bring it. I wasn't sure. Cause...
It was a test.
Well, there's okay, so here's the other one that we went back and forth on. So is it inspiring innovations, which are the things? It's not. It's inspiring innovation, which is the bigger thing. But
yeah. You got two of us that like better.
Better.
Better than enhance.
How about lift?
Better.
Better. We're going to better it. Okay.
Is
strong.
I know, but a lot of people might think it's already better.
Enhances too cosmetic, as Freddie said.
I like
better. I like better.
I know. We know he's still.
I like cosmetic.
I like better.
The back wall likes better. Hey, the middle group?
Where's the clickers? We need clickers.
That's for tomorrow. What's I think Barbara's question about what's missing, I think that's a good thing too. What's left out of here?
Well, I don't think it's left out, but you know, our international reach branding, does that need to tie back somehow? Or does inspiring the world, does that take care of it?
The world takes care of it.
The world takes care of it.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Call it too much specifically? That we're doing this all this international thing, is you lose your local and your region and your commonwealth, and we need to be all inclusive.
Interestingly, international reach was not a part of our mission; it was a part of our tagline. So,
is it not?
Barbara, when you're talking about
global society,
but the world is sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about something missing. Thinking about we didn't address anything from the past.
About what?
Address anything from the past. Like, there's nothing about where we've come from. If you're talking about what's missing, when you read this, I look at this kind of going forward. not referencing anything to our past. Is that what you were thinking might be missing, or was that kind of a suggestion to think?
No, I was asking myself, could I find something missing? But then I talked myself into the fact that I could read it into what was there. Okay.
I just didn't know if we had anything about the past, because we do refer to Martin Cherry. We've talked about it a lot today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that's a good critique.
Use enrich instead of better. Look at the old statement that uses enrich.
Well, I like
enrich. I've got enrich down as one of the possibilities. Jason, there we go.
I had a question regarding our tagline. So we've consistently, I mean, it's even inscribed in buildings, a leading American university with international reach. In keeping with our new mission statement, will we transition that to a student-centered applied research university, or will we be keeping the old one? Or is that just something to, you know, play with in the future?
So that is exactly the right question. And as somebody who, in a previous life, did good marketing work, at least I thought it was good, the goal of marketing is to shine a light on, translate, elevate, whatever that mission is.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would not want to do today, or without professional guidance or larger conversations, is say, and here's our new tagline. As a matter of fact, the way this likely will work is hopefully some portion of this resonates. We go through a year-long process. And at the end, we have a strategic plan that reflects this and the community's aspirations, at which point we then can turn something that may feel academic into something with sizzle.
Okay.
And the back row is going to have to do some of that work.
Okay.
So, no, we're not going to walk around with paintbrushes, and but I think we will have a conversation around, given a shift in mission statement, a new strategic plan, how do we talk about ourselves in a way that's compelling to all of our audiences? But a great question. It's not the tagline.
The tagline is rather long and rather wordy. It kind of mumbles off here. It's not real clean and precise.
Where do you see within this, if you look at the criticisms nationally of universities these days, the failure to prepare students in socially responsible ways, social responsibilities, citizenship, that kind of thing. Where do you see that embedded in there?
In me, it's about improving and elevating community. Very much, I mean, community organizing would be part of improving a community. Attracting a company is part of elevating community. Providing good health care and treatment through nurse practitioners and nurses also improves community. So it captured all of that. But a good point to think about.
The word civic in there some ways, civic responsible, I don't know.
Not to belabor the slide. This is what I hope we achieve as an institution, and that we want to engage every. And thank you for the feedback and the shaping. This will be an iterative process, so we're going to continue to work on it. Engage every stakeholder group in meaningful conversations. Articulate. Persuasively, our shared aspirations for the institution, and by our, I mean all of our, the board, every stakeholder. Creating a practical and revisable roadmap for the future, and in my mind, that is a 10-year roadmap. So typically, these things will be have an arc or shelf life. At the same time, revisable is important. So what I hope that we end the process with is something to which we return constantly and check what we're doing against the plan, and also allows us to be nimble enough to revise it. So if there are things that are in there that we need to change, then we have to be willing to go ahead and do that. You saw certainly from this morning and continuing to share data and use those data to inform the choices we're making as an institution. There's the contextualization using performance funding metrics. And this will be important, thinking about how our budget model deploys scarce resources in a way that supports priorities. Just creating a strategic plan without having the conversation around resource allocation is a futile effort, and that will have to be part of the conversation as well. I think it is always difficult to talk about things that we're doing now that we're going to stop doing, because those are hard choices among good options. But because resources are finite, we have to be strategic, and that comes out of the conversation. So if you would react to this, what else do I need to, should we have in the goals? What else is... Is this what you all envision as a strategic planning process when you hired me? I'm...
Improve student learning.
Is there a list sort of enumerating the stakeholder groups? Like,
no, but that's something we can create. And I don't think we want to be so reductionist as to get down to where we're trying to identify every subpopulation of every group,
mm-hmm.
but to make sure that we hit every group.
You know, when you start making lists,
I do.
The worst thing that happens is you leave somebody out you intended to include. So a broad term of stakeholder group, I think that is a shared... I mean, I know who my stakeholders are not represented, and I think I could... list. I think everyone in this room could come up with theirs. It could be their church or synagogue or their mosque or, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'd be careful about having too much of a list.
Okay.
I had one comment on your last one. I think that is a challenge because I do think the very last word, the priorities, that you want to really start making a list, that's where we're going to have to focus. What is priority, and unfortunately, a lot of stakeholders have different priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'll be the leadership will have to come up with that and articulate it well.
So we'll talk about that when we walk through the process and the 9 months and kind of what it looks like, at least how I'm envisioning.
You know, I don't have. I'm sitting here struggling with the word to give you, so let me just say the thought and let you figure it out.
Okay.
Everything about that is, I mean, it's pointing us forward. It's mm-hmm. looking forward. And maybe one thing that when you look at at all of our stakeholders, maybe one thing that would give people comfort in the strategic planning process is to know that you also at least state the desire to somehow hold on to, or not hold on to, it, then the word, somehow remain aware of the richness of the heritage and traditions
Good.
Of this university.
Absolutely. That's exactly where it needs to go, because, yes, that is a huge gap.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the organization, at least in my head. I used to teach strategic planning for higher education back in Tennessee, so it's not just from my head, though. There's a literature that undergirds it. What I'm envisioning is two co-chairs of the strategic planning process, one of whom will be me. core function of chief executives is strategic planning, and so I have a lot of skin in the game. A steering committee with 10 to 14 members, and then a set of working groups, each of which with two chairs and 8 to 10 members each, and some of you, those of you who were in the transition meetings, Brian, we wrestled a little bit with working group, planning group, and so working. It's really, I wanted this to be action oriented, and then there's the engagement inclusion of every major stakeholder group, and I could probably take out major because it suggests that minor ones would be excluded. And then here are the, so this is, this will go through multiple iterations during the next couple months. Academic innovation and excellence. Those of you also on the transition team will see some of this reflected. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. We already had a group working on that. And so Lynn and I have had conversations around how do we make sure we continue that work, reassess and involve folks appropriately, also in the strategic plan. Instead of, I don't think we should just copy and paste. Gaps. It's a little siloed for me.
Gil mentioned in a little brief conversation here.
There it goes.
How do you bridge between those? Because the silos have a tendency to be very focused on their own mission. At some point, we're going to have to do the bridging between each one of these categories, because an academic innovation and excellence to come up with an idea that budgeting and efficiency we just can't afford to do. It might be the grandest idea that we should do it, but somehow we're going to, and I don't know, I can't come up with a solution, but that's going to be very important.
So I think part of it is the steering committee. As those reports come up, that steering committee has the totality of the exercise in mind, has to be looking at those cross-cutting efforts, and then also in the charge. So as the folks engaged in the working groups are charged with what I want them to do, what we all want them to do, I think making part of that the conversation around not being only focused on this, but the relationship between and among will be important as we write those specific charges.
There are two things, and they may be in here. It seems to be one of the things that is going to make a difference in all of these areas is that clearer understanding of whom we serve.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, student success and experience is one thing, but and diversity and equity and inclusion talks about, I mean, could get at it, but I guess one of my questions is which group will take on a primary responsibility in terms of identifying the populations that we need to serve, since those are changing. That would be one question. The second one is and it may come out of any one of these, but it seems like one of the things, just as in the last few years, we've seen explosion of staff positions because of differentiated needs and roles and things that don't traditionally fit belong to faculty or something. And so there's a lot to speculate about what the staffing configurations and roles are going to look like in the future. Do you see that embedded in one of those?
I think it's... So the danger in doing this is what comes out of every group is, and we need this much more in resources. And so not tagging that explicitly.
I guess I didn't mean it so much as more as I meant consider... Just as if you consider that we're going to have the potential for growing, if you can grow, in different population categories and for different reasons than we may have traditionally had. Is it likely that we're also going to find ourselves utilizing different kinds of staffing patterns?
Great. I would propose adding budgeting, resources, because resources is not just, it's human capital as well. So as we engage in a conversation about strategic resource allocation and perhaps strategic resource reallocation, is that also around the way in which we deploy our human capital? I like that. And I know that antennas sometimes go up when that gets discussed. Institutions and organizations can manage through that process purely by attrition and retraining. And so I want to make sure I put that caveat there, knowing that there are folks in the room that might talk about that more broadly than just in this room. That there are ways to do this through attrition and not necessarily with reductions. Okay. So this is the, again, draft timeline. I've spent the past 4 weeks, we'll spend the next 4 weeks really trying to identify who my partner is going to be in doing this, and I'm having lots of one-on-one meetings with faculty across campus that would be respected, trusted, and work well together with me. Hopefully by September, having steering committee and working groups assembled, charging the committees, giving them guiding principles in October, and then having them work through essentially the early November on collecting data, along with Tuesday, assessing strengths, challenges, opportunities, weaknesses, identifying emergent themes from their conversations and work, and then putting together some preliminary thoughts for the community to react to. And so I then would envision a set of small internal forums where people who are interested in a particular issue could show up, react to. This may be the place where you take your red dot and everybody gets four red dots and they say, this is interesting to me. I don't care about this, so it doesn't get a red dot, so you get a sense of the room. And then during the spring semester, revisions and feedback, incorporating that feedback, and continuing to work. This all will be supported by survey, taking out just other stakeholder groups, meaning alumni, businesses, who also will have seats on the working group, donors. But taking all of that, putting it together, and then the steering committee gets a set of five recommendations, five separate reports. And I've seen this and been part of it. This is where the real work starts. How do you synthesizing those five things into something that actually makes good sense? That is a tough work because it distills all of that essentially into the first draft of a full plan. Shared back with the community to say, look, this is where we're headed. What do you think? May, June, revising that again based upon feedback. And the goal would be that at the end of June, the steering committee would bring and present to the board the draft of the next decade of work. And hopefully that you all would approve that. And a few days later, we would push the go button with a probably more formal launch at convocation of 2018.
Now, when you said the word community feedback, it triggered me going back and looking at your draft working groups. And you could easily say, okay, community connections, community outreach, whatever is embedded in all of these.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could look at them and as a community member and wonder, where does community connection outreach come?
Okay.
The service aspect of the institution. So I'm not sure where it is in the working groups, or if it runs throughout all of them, or if you need to explicitly consider the
I would add engagement, and so not just in the context of scholarship, I would engagement in terms of that outreach to research, scholarship, creative endeavors, and engagement.
Barbara, I'm sorry, what was your
I'm sorry. What I said was when I hit that one that said you're going to get community feedback, it made me think back to the working groups and wonder whether our outreach, our community outreach and engagement was embedded in the five groups, or were we going to deal with that separately? Would communities see themselves in it? That's what I was asking.
And to piggyback along on Barbara's, just trying to figure out what you're going to is it alumni?
Yes.
But is it engaged in all five of the groups, or is it going to be a different, like what Barbara's talking about?
My hope is that there will be alumni representation on the group, that they'll get to provide feedback on the draft working papers, the draft plan. There'll be survey work that happens in front. Tuesday's going, he didn't tell me all this, Gaboni. Draft surveys that happen in October as well. So, yeah, trying to grab all of that. And then even focus groups with leadership.
So how are you going to compose the steering and working groups? What are the components? Where do you draw them from?
All of our stakeholders. Is that the dodge? I mean, that's the thing.
You have like a certain number, like so percentages from faculty, staff.
No.
Will students be involved?
Yes, students are an important stakeholder group.
Okay.
So students will have hopefully a seat on each one of the working groups, or the ones where it's a,
okay,
where they would want. And so that's it's a lot of work across all of the different groups.
Younger alumni expect our alumni association are worlds apart. So you've got people that have varied opinions. So it helps to have a working group of different age groups alumni.
This sounds very elementary, but if we're not able to, I guess, like give a list, and for fear of excluding people, could you just broadly define a stakeholder? Because I guess I'm just having trouble conceptualizing that.
So I would argue a stakeholder is anyone who has an interest in the success of the institution.
Okay.
Student, faculty, staff, parents.
Okay.
Donors, alumni, community members, businesses, legislators, the general taxpayer of...
Okay.
I mean, so you want to get that... So that, and that's why it's hard to make the list. Because
right,
it's,
right. Okay.
But I think anyone who has an interest in our success, even if they're not... may not be directly involved in the day-to-day work...
Okay.
They'll still have, in some ways, opportunities for feedback. The chamber membership in our regional. I mean, we want this to be as broad and as inclusive as possible so that at the end, mm-hmm, everyone feels like, and I've said this in a couple of different places, I want to make sure that as people look at the final product, they may not agree, mm-hmm, with everything, but they can say, you know what, I see something that I've said or that I've heard reflected in this. So it's not all just my conception for the place and where we're going, the work we're going to do, but I see the part that either resonates with me or I feel like my voice was heard and I see where it's going, and so I feel included in a part of it. So that at the end of the day, not like we're going to take a vote or something, but people look at this document and go, you know what, that represents the best of the work that we could possibly have done and where we want to go. And I can find a place for myself in that too.
You need one person, maybe several stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
I would be considered alumni and a donor. A parent could be an alumni, a parent, and a donor. I mean, so you've got some people that are going to have a cross reference. So when they're on the committee, they'll be able to get a perspective from possibly two or three.
Okay. Thank you. All that helps a lot.
And then associated with this, a pretty intensive communication plan, but really focused on a landing spot where we have the draft documents, the videos, feedback forms, calendar, updates, essentially a hub. And then also the kind of more proactive reaching out to the community and stakeholders with emails on a monthly basis, and certainly me communicating back with you on a monthly basis, where it's going, here's the update, this is how it is and how it's unfolding. So it's essentially, this is what you all have charged me with doing, and it's together our responsibility to set that broad strategy.
Just as an observation, the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
That January, February, March, and possibly into April will be a pretty interesting period for our state, I think, legislatively. So that could have a bold impact on the early stages of the open forums and so forth. So I think we need to just be time sensitive to this calendar, because there could be, by December, January, rumbles of certain things that might be taking place that could impact this long-term strategy.
That's terrific feedback, and we have to be, I think it has to be fluid and flexible and mindful of what the conversation is across the Commonwealth.
And Robin's very aware of the numerous topics that will affect us,
mm-hmm.
That we may or may not have any control over, but we have to be sensitive to it.
That's the last slide. So, general comments, concerns, critique? Thank you all.
Good.
I think it was
good. It's ambitious. That's good.
I'm sure there's some wiggle room, like as Regent Ridley was mentioning, that legislature being in session could possibly cause us some issues in the beginning here, but I'm sure there's a little wiggle room so that it...
Even if we were to not get to approval at the June date, if we're later in the summer, I think that we've got the flexibility built in here. When we hit the academic year running next year, we'll be in good shape.
I like the plan. Thank you.
Thank you.
I feel like I've got something to work on now.
Thank you.
So, what's next? Any follow-up discussion by any regents on aspects of the strategic plan? Any questions?
I have a wondering question. Okay. Wondering. Not wondering. I think it's very well thought out and makes sense. The pieces are there. I think as it's received on campus, particularly on campus, one of the things that people might wonder about is how, right now we're facing a very interesting time and a lot of challenges, and how those challenges, stabilization of budget and other kinds of things, play into the strategic plan. I mean, we're obviously not going to just be sitting and waiting till the end of the strategic plan. So this is the strategic plan to take us down the road. And so now what do we do about communicating the strategic plan or the plan?
So in addition to strategic planning this year, we're going to do some strategic doing this year.
Maybe that's the word, strategic doing. Okay.
And
that's a good word.
And so with Caboni's rule of three, strategic planning, recruitment, I think is going to be a priority, and retention, persistence, and graduation is number three. There'll be some smaller single issue things that I'll address, and my hope is that at convocation we'll talk about those three things, and maybe a couple of others that are initiatives. We have ongoing retention task force that's working, the ongoing diversity inclusion task force, which has presented its recommendations and to me, and so we're going to be working on it. So there's work to be done. I don't want the campus or the world to think that we're just going to sit around and navel gaze and think about what we're going to be. We're also going to pull some policy levers and do some strategic doing. That's a good... Thank you.
And very likely that strategic doing is going to have an impact on learning. So, thank you.
Very much so.
How do you work the budget into your for 2018-19 through your strategic plan? That makes sense since you're finishing it up in May and June. How do you budget based on your strategic plan that's not quite finished yet?
So it's a little bit like building an airplane while you're flying it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as those conversations happen here, we're going to move over here, and part of it will be the charge to think creatively, look at what other places have done and how they've done it. And so if we can get a budget model that evolves toward being more priority focused and a little more flexible and nimble and serves us, that when the strategic plan is coming into focus, I'm hopeful that budget model is as well. And Mead is also looking at me, as is Gil, going, that's
well, something. We have, maybe Ann should speak to this more than I should, but we have, periodically we have those quarterly adjustments and we look at them and we have to make some adjustments. So I think you have a process already in place that you can accomplish that as something may change. So while it sounds like it's in building an airplane when you're flying, it's not necessarily. We've already got something in place. At least I know. And I don't know how you feel about that. Say yes.
Caught me a deer in the headlights.
So are we ready to move into the last segment?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you fail?
It's yours. Fred had asked me to say a few words, and I think maybe in a nutshell, what I hope to see is more of what we've had today. I think it's been great discussions as I look around the table at everyone here who brings different talents, and with George Nichols joining us tomorrow, I think we've got a great Board of Regents with no doubt that everyone is here for the right reasons. They all love Western and are invested in it mentally and emotionally, and I think that puts us in a good position to deal whatever challenges that we're going to face. And someone once famously said, adversity introduces a person to himself. Said for a board as well, and we know there are going to be challenges ahead and adversities that we will meet and solve some as we go along, and hopefully anticipate and solve many with the strategic plan. When I look at what we need to be or become as a board, there was an article in the same trustee edition as some of the other articles that were recommended to us, but it talks about how the role of boards in higher education have changed really dramatically in just the last few years. The need for greater accountability, the need for us to be advocates to the public. We all know how important it is, but we do have a job to do in terms of presenting that better, I think, to the public, and I think boards have to be more active than they've ever been before. A consent board is not what we want to be or hopefully have been. We're going to be a working board. That's a given, and we can see that. And we've got to be strategic. And then the next level of consciousness, if you will, would be become a mindful board. And I think that may be the thing that we should pursue as much as we can, be very thoughtful about what we do. These decisions that are going to come before us the next year or two are going to be critical, and Barbara recently told me that in all her years of higher education, I think you were never more fearful for what lies ahead, and the fact that we have to do this job well. And we need to be a consequential board, and in order to do that, we've got to be informed, we've got to be engaged. I think if you look at the number one goal for us, we've got to be fiduciaries, we've got to be responsible, we've got to remember the duties of care, loyalty, and obedience, and take those seriously, which everyone on this board does. After that, I think the next most important thing for us going forward is we have to have a healthy, strong relationship with our new president. And as this strategic plan unfolds and as these decisions come before us, we've got to have a good relationship with our president, and he's got to have our backs, and we've got to have his backs. One of the greatest experiences of my life was being able to chair the presidential search. And it was a long, arduous process at times, but I think to see how our board dealt with that and came together and formed consensus was a great example of what we need to do going forward as well. We need to help him frame bold initiatives. And during this strategic planning process that's just been put forth, I think our board needs to be very engaged with that, and I hope that individual members of the board will volunteer or be placed in strategic positions, if you will, on some of these committees and boards. But our board will be the one that owns that, and we need to be heavily involved in it. At the risk of sounding redundant, you all hear me talk about this maybe too much, but I don't think you can too much. We need to revisit our real purpose, which is student learning. We're in the business of building brain power. And as we saw this morning, the world is awakening to new information every day, how we learn, how our brains work. And we need to be putting that into play every way we can. I happened to be able to catch Dr. Lang for a brief aside this morning and was able to tell him, no surprise to any of you all, but the one thing missing in his book and in his presentation this morning, we're talking about learning. We're talking about long-term learning. Well, consolidation of memory occurs during REM sleep. And the longest period of REM sleep is between the 7th and 8th hour. So if you've got a classroom full of students that got 5 hours sleep last night and are going to get 5 more tonight, they're not consolidating memory. So we need to, as a board, I think, take advantage of some opportunities to educate our community, our faculty, our students, and put some things into play. And you talk about interesting research. I mean, we could be doing that right here, right now, at little to no cost. So I'm going to keep beating that drum. I've been beating it for 4 years, and I hope we can move forward.
I've only been on the Board of Regents.
I think we need to be data-driven, and we've talked about that and seen that, and I think it's great to have people on campus that are producing information that is pertinent to us, and we as regents need to, not all of us are going to understand every bit of it, but enough of us can and will in different sectors that we can improve, I think, in that regard. Academic freedom, you know, that's a term that gets used a lot, and this may be crazy, it may not be a good idea, but I'd like to see us frame our own statement on that sometime, and I think we could involve our faculty and staff and students in doing that, but It's a topic that we need to keep near and dear to us as a board. The shared governance that I think we've seen in action today, I think, is also critical going forward. The last thing that I want to mention today, and this is in the context, I want us to be the best higher education board in Kentucky and maybe this region. I think we can be. But I think we need to probably have a little more board development than we've had. We've had some this last year that's been good, but I've mentioned to each one of you personally, and you've all been gracious to indicate you like the idea. I think we need to do a national conference together, a good national conference, and I think we may need to make it clear that it is not a junket, and everyone has indicated that we would self-finance that to a large degree, if not a total degree, upping our game. I've been to many national conferences in my occupation and also in a previous life as a school board member, and I've always found them to be very stimulating. And it doesn't take coming back with more than one or two good ideas to be worth the effort and time. And again, I go back to our presidential search. I think the time that we were able to spend together was extremely valuable. It was to me, and I think to all of you as well. So those are some of my thoughts and a charge, if you will, as we go forward. And I think we can have a lot of fun when we do all that. And Mr. Chairman, that's about all I have to say.
Thank you. Wow. Well, I think we've had this is really not our year end by any means. It's third quarter, Julia, right? Going in third quarter. But it's obviously continuation of our transition, and I appreciate all this board has done this past year and what we've accomplished, and welcome our new president, who we're terribly excited about our future and what lies ahead. So thanks to everyone. And if there's nothing else, I think we might wrap up early today. We might have anything else? Thanks to everyone in attendance. We appreciate you. See you in the morning. We do have a social function at 6 o'clock at...